Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me today? And let's give him another hand clap of praise. Simply because he's worthy. Just because he deserves it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I thank you for loving us today, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Somebody said we like people because. And we love people in spite of. That kind of defines the difference, doesn't it? You don't love people because of something. You love them in spite of something. Amen. Stinky socks and throwing clothes on the floor. And all kinds of reasons to love people in spite of. Amen. Bad attitudes, ugly spirits. But we can still love folks, can't we, in spite of. But you like people because of certain things. Amen. That defines the difference. Jesus loved us in spite of. But he likes us also. Amen. Because of certain things. I want to go to the third chapter of John. Let's read beginning with verse number. Well, let me just read the 8th verse. Just hold on to that text because we'll be referring to it. Jesus said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." That's a nice way of saying the wind goes where it wants to. "And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And so is every one that is born of the Spirit." Amen. I'd like to preach today about the ministry of the wind. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. In this text, there was a man that came to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes from two Greek words, and put them together, it means victorious among his people. Amen. I'd like to be a Nicodemus, wouldn't you? I'd like to be victorious among the people. Hallelujah. That was his name, Nicodemus. And the Bible says that he was a ruler in Israel, which generally would mean he was a member of the Sanhedrin court. Sanhedrin court was a ruling body that ruled over the affairs of Israel, made up of 70 men. And so he was a member of the Sanhedrin court. He was a very respected, very influential individual in Israel. And the Bible said that he came to Jesus. And I think it's significant the Bible said that he came by night. Amen. He didn't really want anybody to see him. Amen. He was not ready to openly declare. It's okay to come to Jesus at night. Most people come to Jesus at night. Most people do not come to the Lord until they're in so much trouble. Then it's dark everywhere. And they can't find any light. And they can't get any relief. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song. Remember, when you tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. That pretty much sums it up. We usually do. We don't usually try him first. We usually try everything else. And when everything else fails, then we turn to the Lord. And he's there. Amen. But don't wait till the night. He's God of the light. Amen. But Nicodemus came to him at night. And he comes, and Nicodemus was a man of faith. This man was a spiritual man. He did have some spiritual sensitivity. He was a man that was, I think, very spiritually perceptive. A lot of his brethren were not spiritually perceptive. They were dead as proverbial doornails. But he was a man that was spiritually perceptive. So he comes to the Lord, and he calls him Rabbi, or Master. And he himself, being a ruler, he set Jesus over himself, and he humbled himself to him. And he makes this declaration. He says, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he was coming, he was making a spiritual declaration. Now again, that was better. There was some men on that same court that believed Jesus did miracles by the power of the devil. But Nicodemus said, uh-uh. He said, you couldn't do what you do except by the power of God. Amen. It's a sad situation when people can't distinguish between the power of Satan and the power of God. Amen. But you can get there. You can get there. Amen. And here's a man that was not in that position. He still recognized God's power. He still recognized God's authority. He still recognized God's works. And he identified them. And then Jesus answers him in a unique way. He says, I say, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, or truthfully, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus had a unique way of getting right down to the point. He cut through everything. He said, here's what you want to know, Nicodemus, and I'm going to take you there. Amen. He said, you got to be born again. Just that simple. Have you ever wished that you could start over? Anybody ever wished that? Amen. There's a beautiful poem. I don't have it with me today. It said, the land of beginning again. I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again. I'd like to. Everybody wishes at times you could do that. Some of us, we wish we could go back to kindergarten. When we messed up, they'd give us another sheet and we could start all over. Amen. But life's not like that. When you mess up, it's just there, folks. The mess just remains. You have to deal with it. Amen. Consequences arise out of actions. Amen. Out of decisions. Out of choices. And so that's the way life really is. But all of us have wished at times we could be born again. And so Jesus is offering that. I think that's a pretty good offer today. I'm glad I took him up on it. Hallelujah. He said, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus, his curiosity is piqued, and he says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Amen. And then Jesus said, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit, and that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. And that's true, isn't it? There's a difference in your flesh and your spirit. Amen. This flesh ages every day. Your spirit is eternal. It's ageless. Amen. That's why I only recognize I'm old whenever I look in the mirror or I try to move. As long as I'm still and I don't see a mirror, I don't know how old I am. Amen. But that this old physical body is subject to time and subject to sickness and subject to a lot of things, but your spirit is not affected by those things. The spirit is ageless. It's eternal. It's ever young. And so he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Amen. There are things that I got in my flesh from my parents. Now, I'm not trying to play the blame game here. I'm not trying to pass things on and not accept responsibility. It's just a fact. You got a sin nature from Adam and Eve. That's where it came from. Amen. We've said it before. I'll say it again. You don't have to teach people how to be bad. You have to teach people how to be good. You don't have to teach people how to lie. It comes natural, doesn't it? You don't have to teach people how to steal and respect others. All of those things you have to teach people. You have to, that has to be learned, because our Adamic nature that we got from Adam is, it's a sin nature. Amen. That's flesh. Flesh is flesh. When you get the Holy Ghost, you still got to deal with this stuff right here. Amen. Every day you got to deal with it. Amen. Praise God. When you get the Holy Ghost, you still have a temper. Huh? Shake your head like this right here. Amen. Amen. You still have flesh that you got to deal with every day. Flesh is still flesh. It's going to be flesh until you get delivered from it. Hallelujah. Until you get a body, a new body. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when you get a new body, then you'll be, it'll be a spirit body. And it's not going to be subject as we are right now. So flesh is flesh. Spirit is spirit. Praise God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. And then Jesus begins to tell him about the wind here. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, or it blows where it wants to blow. We talked in the Sunday school lesson this morning that at various times in Scripture, God used the wind as a symbol of His Spirit. God used the wind to do certain things. When God wanted to dry the earth after the devastation of the flood, He sent the wind and it began to dry the earth so that Noah and his family could come out of the ark and life could resume on the earth again. Whenever God wanted to split the Red Sea, He used the wind to do it. When God wanted to feed Israel, He used the wind to blow in a bunch of quail so that they could eat and feast and dine. So God has used the wind in various times. And God has also used the wind for judgment. When He wanted to bring judgment upon Egypt, He sent a wind to blow in locusts. So God uses the wind at various times. We said this morning that the word wind, the word breath, and the word spirit are all the same Hebrew and Greek word. The Hebrew word is ra. The Greek word is what is it? Pneuma. Amen. Get here in a minute. Pneumatic tools. You guys are familiar with pneumatic tools? That's pneuma. It comes from the word that means wind. They're wind driven. Amen. Then they're air driven. And so the pneuma, the Spirit of God, and it's also used for the breath of God. Amen. And so this pneuma blows where it wants to. Praise God. Who controls the wind? Who tells the wind what to do? Sister Joan Ewing wrote a song, said, "The storm does not decide how long it will stay. When the master says enough, it just goes away." Amen. Praise God. But I'm telling you, the wind can blow. You talk to somebody that was in Galveston early this week. You talk to somebody that was in South Texas in Raymondville, just Brother Mangrum was here right after the hurricane blew in down there. I'm telling you, the wind can blow. It can do some strange things. Amen. Anybody ever been around the tornado? It can do some weird stuff, can it? It can do some strange. That's the power. When it does what it wants to do. And there's only one person that can tell it what to do. And that's God. You can't stop the wind. You can't make it stay. Praise God. But there's somebody that controls the winds. Hallelujah. There's somebody that tells the wind what to do and where to go. Praise God. So the wind blows where it wants to blow. It blows how it wants to blow. Praise God. You know, we talk about the north wind. And we talk about northers here in Texas. Northers. Up in the north, it's nor'easters. But here, it's northers. Amen. Not northerner. A northerner is somebody that comes from the north. Amen. But a norther is a wind that's blowing out of the north. You know what that is, right? Anybody know what a norther is? Yeah, we know what a norther is. That's when the wind's blowing out of the north, and that's a cold wind. Amen. And then we talk about the east wind. Amen. Fishermen, what was that little ditty they used to say? When wind is from the east, fishing is least. Wind from the west, fishing's best. Amen. Okay, now you got it. You figured out when to go fishing, right? Amen. And so in Bible times, of course, the Mediterranean was on the east. So an east wind was a good wind because it was blowing in cold breezes. Cool breezes, and it was a refreshing wind, the east wind. The west wind was a harsh wind. It was blowing in off the desert, and it was a hot wind. And then, of course, there was a south wind that came also from the desert, from the south. And so they were familiar with this thing about the wind. You remember what the Bible said about that wind that blew in the upper room? Where did it come from? Amen. The Bible said there was a sound from heaven, as of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Praise God. So there's a wind that just comes from heaven. Hallelujah. When we first went to Raymondville, there was an elderly man in the church there that got the Holy Ghost one service. He at that time, I couldn't speak Spanish, and he couldn't speak English. But we could still communicate. I didn't know what he was saying at first. He had this excited look on his face. And he'd just go like that. And I got the idea finally. He was telling me, he said, it was like a wind that blew on me. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And so he got the Holy Ghost. It was like a wind blowing on him, he said. Praise God. And you know what? It's still here today. That wind is still in this house, and it's still here. So wind has liberty. It blows where it wants to. The Holy Ghost is like that. It moves where it wants to move. Now, let me give you a warning here today. There are some people that think that they decide when they're going to get the Holy Ghost, and they decide when they're going to get saved. Uh-uh. It's not your decision. But when I get tired of messing around and I need God bad enough and my life gets messed up enough, well, maybe. But he simply said this, no man cometh unto me unless what? The Spirit draws him. I'll find God when I get ready. Oh, really? God is a spirit. How are you going to find him? It's invisible. If he wants it to be, it's intangible. You can't see him, you can't smell him, you can't touch him unless he wants to be touched, unless he wants to be seen. He can reveal himself to you, but it's God's decision, not yours. That's why the scripture says today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. We do not determine when that's going to happen. God determines when that's going to happen. So you need to respond to him when he is speaking to you. When you feel the Spirit of God, that's the time to respond. When God is drawing you, that's the time to move. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so the wind has its own liberty, folks. It blows where it wants to. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that in the same service, somebody can be asleep and somebody else can be shouting and rejoicing? Somebody can leave saying, that was the deadest, driest, dullest thing I think I've ever been in. And somebody else is just shouting all the way out to their car saying, whoop! Boy, wasn't the Lord in this house tonight. Why in the world is that? It's because somebody's spiritually receptive to the Holy Ghost and somebody else is dead. Amen. Praise God. It just depends on how you respond. The Spirit moves. It has liberty. Hallelujah. Now let me just say this. When the Holy Ghost moves, it gives you liberty. If you'll take it. The Bible speaks of resisting the Holy Ghost. Huh? The Bible talks about quenching the Spirit. Amen. So you see, the Holy Ghost moves. And when it moves, it moves what it can move. Amen. Praise God. Now, you can't see the wind. The wind's invisible. But you can see what the wind is doing. You can see the leaves that are waving in the breeze. You can see what wind is doing. You can see the trash that somebody left on the parking lot blowing, insensitive. Amen, ingrate, leaving trash on the parking lot. Who in the world ever do anything like that? But you can see that moving because the wind is blowing something, right? See? You can see what the wind is doing, but you can't see the wind. It's still invisible. You can feel the wind. Anybody ever feel the wind? I grew up in West Texas. I have tasted the wind. It tastes like dirt. I didn't see the wind, but Brother Brandon, you're getting ready to see some wind. You may not have seen wind, but you hold on. About March, you'll see some. Amen. Oh, I've seen it come in. You can see it come as like a big red cloud descending on you. Amen. When I moved back to Midland after being gone for a long, long time, we just finished playing around the golf and we was getting our clubs in the car. And I mean to tell you about that time, we could see it coming a long ways off. Big old red cloud. And it blew in there. And then sometimes it, right at the same time that dust is blowing on you, it starts raining. And I'm literally, it rains mud. And gets all over. And you're just covered with mud. It's interesting. So you see, the wind becomes visible. It demonstrates itself. And the Holy Ghost is like that. You don't see the Holy Ghost, but you can see what it's doing. That's exactly what happened at Pentecost, wasn't it? They didn't see the Holy Ghost, but they saw what it was doing. Amen. People were speaking in tongues. But I don't know, I wasn't there, but I got a feeling they acted just like Pentecostals today. Hallelujah. Their faces were shining. Some of them were probably dancing a little bit. Some of them were probably shouting a little bit. They were all excited about what was going on. Amen. Because the Bible said, and when it was what? It was noised abroad. Pentecost has always been noisy. Amen. It's always going to be noisy. Amen. Praise God. It's like the little old lady said one time. She said, I don't think all that shouting's necessary. The other one said, no. She said, God's not deaf. He said, no, but he's not nervous either. Amen. Shouting doesn't bother him. Noise doesn't bother him. It does bother some people. Amen. Praise God, especially folks that don't really want to move. Brother Raymond, you sing it often. You got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Y'all understand how age affects some of us. Amen. That's why I pound with my hand more than my feet now. It's easier to move this than it is all of this. Amen. Praise God. But every now and then I want to move the whole thing. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of the Lord gets to move it, there's liberty. Amen. That's why every now and then Brother Ferguson has all he can stand back there. And he's got to get out and get in these aisles just a little bit. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's liberty in the Holy Ghost. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, the Spirit brings liberty. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for liberty today. Hallelujah. So the wind blows. Amen. He said, so is everybody that's born of the Spirit. You know what else the wind is? The wind is free. Unless you go down to the filling station. Then it costs you 50 cents to air up a tire, at least. It's not free anymore. People have learned how to do it. I'm waiting for the day that they learn how to put gauges on your nose to charge you for the air you breathe and tax it. Amen. We're living in a strange world, folks. As soon as they figure out a way to do that, amen, they already charge you part of it. You go out to West Texas now. We went out there a couple of weeks ago. You everywhere you look, there's these big, huge windmills. You ever seen one of those big mills they use to make electricity? You think it's free? Wait till you get your electric bill. You'll be finding out it's not free. Amen. Here, God sends this free wind, and people have made a way to make a profit off of it. Amen. Boone Pickens, man, he's pushing wind energy right now because he's heavily invested in wind energy. So he's telling us that's the way. Don't drill any more oil because he's taking some of his oil profits and putting wind profits. Amen. But the wind is free. That's the beautiful thing about it. Amen. This experience, this Holy Ghost, is free for anybody that wants it. The Bible said, whosoever will, let him come and drink freely of the waters of life. Amen. Friend, it's free today. You can have it if you want it. Praise God. If anybody ever needed to be free, it was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Amen. There, in Bible times, there were Pharisees and Sadducees. Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Amen. And then, of course, there were lawyers and scribes. But the Pharisees were the strictest of the strict. Amen. I mean, they even had degrees of Pharisees. Paul said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. mean, he was one of the black and blue Pharisees. They called them black and blue Pharisees because when they would see a woman coming, they didn't want to have a lustful thought, so they would close their eyes and run into stuff. And they would, literally, I'm telling you the truth, and they would get bruises. And so they called them the black and blue Pharisees. I'm telling you the truth, folks. This is how nutty religion can get. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was all bound up. He needed some liberty. And Jesus was trying to get him free. Hallelujah. He was trying to liberate him. Praise God. He was trying to tell him, hey, God wants you to be free today. He doesn't want you to be bound up. What was it that Jesus said as soon as he got Lazarus out of the tomb? He's standing there in his grave clothes and everybody's going. And he said, loose him and let him go. Amen. I would have been doing that if I was there. God been dead 4 days and here he is standing there just squirming trying to get out of those clothes. Amen. Loose him and let him go. God wants people to be free. He doesn't want people to be bound. Amen. Sin is bondage. Hallelujah. There are some people that will tell you, try to tell you, that living for God becomes bondage. Oh, no, 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 no. This is liberty. Praise God. This is liberty. You see, now, before, when you were a sinner, you didn't choose whether you sinned or not. You sinned because you were a sinner. It was your nature. You didn't have any say in the matter. You didn't have any say in the matter. Amen. It was just your nature. You couldn't choose. But once you get the Holy Ghost, you can choose how you live your life. You can choose what you do. You can choose what you say. You can choose how you live. That's liberty, folks. Amen. So the Holy Ghost brings liberty into your life. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Not only does the wind, the only way, the wind just does what God tells it to do. Amen. Praise God. And the wind has a purifying effect. Some years ago, there was a huge cloud of pollution that settled into Los Angeles. You know, Los Angeles is in a valley. And all of this pollution, this polluted air, and smog, isn't that an ugly word? Smog. Smog settled into the valley. And the air quality went bad. And called in a bunch of scientists. I said, what are we going to do? They said, well, nothing we can do. Amen. It's here. They said, but we can tell you what we need. They said, what we need is a wind from elsewhere to blow in here. Hallelujah. A wind from somewhere could blow this out of here. That's the solution. But you see, they didn't know how they could get that wind to blow. Praise God. And so all they needed was a purifying wind to blow in, and it could drive out all of the pollution. Amen. And that's what the Holy Ghost does in life, isn't it? Amen. It has a cleansing effect when it blows in. Praise God. It has a way of blowing out the dross and the sin and the ugliness that gets into human lives. Praise God. So he said, they said, we need a wind from somewhere. We just don't know how to get it here. Well, I know how to get the Holy Ghost here. Praise God. You get to praising the Lord. Amen. There's about three things I can tell you that will enhance the moving of the Spirit of God. One of them is praise. The Bible said God inhabits the praises of His people. So when we praise, God is attracted to praise. That is literally His address. He lives where praise is. And there's a difference in praise and flattery. They sound the same, but the motive is different. Did you get that? They sound the same, but the motive is different. People flatter individuals because they want something from them. But people praise simply because they love and adore. There are some people that try to praise God, and literally they're flattering God simply because they want something from Him. God knows the difference in flattery and praise. Other people just simply praise God. They praise Him for His mighty acts. And they praise Him simply because He is God. Amen. And whenever we praise God, it brings His presence. When we flatter God, He knows the difference. Amen. And so, I don't know where that came from. That's pretty good though. Amen. Praise God. And so praise brings the presence of the Lord. The next thing that brings the presence of God is repentance. The Bible says a broken and contrite spirit, God will in no way refuse. Whenever there's brokenness and there's contrition and there's conviction and there's repentance. Somebody said it this way. They said, God will never stumble over an intercessor. He'll always stop and pick them up. The true spirit of repentance will always attract the presence of God. Amen. Always attract the presence of God. And then faith will always attract the presence of God. Faith is a great compliment to God. Faith is simply believing what God said. I don't know about you, but when people don't believe what I say, it hurts my feelings. Anybody else feel that way? Amen. Yeah, it hurts your feelings when somebody doesn't believe what you say. It hurts God too when people just don't believe what He said. Faith is just simply believing what God said. And so faith attracts the Spirit of God. It draws the presence of God. So where there's praise, where there's repentance, and where there's faith, God is always attracted to that. He'll always move in that kind of a situation. Praise God. And He wants to move here in this service this morning in this place. Amen. Would you stand with me? Thank you for your time and your attention. Amen. Praise God. The wind gives life. Breath gives life. Amen. God formed Adam. He was a perfect form made from the clay of the earth. All of the internal organs were in place. Everything was there. The eyes were perfect. Everything was perfect. But there was no life until God breathed into Adam. And when God breathed, the breath, the spirit entered into Adam. He rose up, praise God, and there was life. Amen. You remember when God took Ezekiel in his vision and he saw this valley of dry bones. And the Lord said, what do you see, Ezekiel? He said, I don't see anything but a bunch of dry bones. And he said, can these bones live? And he said, God, you know. Amen. And then he said, I want you to prophesy. I want you to preach. I want you to speak the word of God to these bones. And when he began to prophesy, speak the word of God to the bones, the Bible says they all began to come together. That would have been quite a sight, wouldn't it? All these old rattling bones, amen, snapping together. Knee sockets and hip sockets and rib cages and all of that just snapping together. Praise God. That would have been quite a sight. And then he said, and all of a sudden muscle wrapped around the bone and skin covered the muscle and the bone. And there they were. They were lying as corpses in the valley. And the Lord said, can these live? And he said, Lord, you know. And then he said, I want you to prophesy to the wind. And he started preaching to the wind. And the wind started blowing in the valley. And all of a sudden, the bones rose up. Hallelujah. And they stood up on their feet. And the Bible said, it was a great army. Amen. There's life in the wind. There's life in the Spirit of God. There's life in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That life is in this place today. Hallelujah. That life is in this place today. Amen. Praise God. Nicodemus. Amen. Praise God. You must be born again. You must be born again, water and of spirit. Amen. Is there somebody here today that you haven't been born again? Amen. You haven't experienced the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You haven't washed away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you today, you can have a brand new life. You can have a brand new life. You can leave this place a brand new person. And I invite you to come right now. I'm going to open up these altars. If you would come here and just repent of your sin, ask God to forgive you. Amen. I told you that'll attract the presence of God. Nothing brings the presence of God like repentance and praise and faith. Amen. So step out by faith. Hallelujah. Make your way to the Lord here today. He's waiting on somebody in this house.